So I'm going to give you four doors today, the four doors of the Lord, and four ways that God handles doors. So this is God is our doorkeeper. Amen. And of course, you can think of a four-door car. You can think of the fact that it took a long time to put Danny's door on his bedroom at his house. Doors are a big deal, aren't they, Danny? Aren't they a big deal? They're wonderful. And it's nice to have doors. And so I'm going to give you some just four doors here that I think are important. And then we're going to review a little bit of what the Lord has done more a little bit. Okay. So the first door we're going to look at is in Genesis chapter 7. And it's the door that God shuts for you. So God has a door that you have an open door in your life that God needs to shut for you. And that only God can really shut. And that's in Genesis 7:16. So it's an open door that God shuts. Write that down. An open door that God will shut. And that is in Genesis, the story of Genesis. And just look at verse 16 of chapter 7. We all know the story of Noah's Ark. And I love Noah's Ark story. And Lord willing, I'm going to write a book about Noah's Ark, because you can teach just about every truth or first principle in the scripture on the Noah's Ark story. But I'm not going to go there. But I love that story in Genesis chapter 7, verse 16. So I'm going to go there just to look at it real quick. And then we're going to read that verse, Genesis chapter 7. And it's the story of Noah and his ark. Verse 16, it says, "And those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God commanded him." All right, would everybody say, "God commanded him"? Say that. God commanded him. One of the key themes of Noah's Ark is Noah did everything that God told him to do. He did everything. He said, "Noah, build me an ark." And Noah simply said, "Yes, okay, I'll do it." And then he said, "This is how you're to make it." And he said, "Okay." And then he said, "Now after you make the ark, I want you to get two of every kind of animal." And Noah said, "Okay." And then he said, "Get your family and go in the ark." And he said, "Okay, I'm going." And then the moment he did everything that God told him to do, God did for him the thing that Noah couldn't do for himself. And that was close the door on the ark. There was something important about God shutting him in the ark. God closed the door. It says the Lord closed him in the ark. And I believe the Lord wants to encourage us today with this first door, that there is a door that God is going to seal or finish when you've done everything God wants you to do. God will have his way. It's almost like putting a seal on something. Like you build a house, Ted. And you finish everything. And then what do? You turn the keys over. It's done. It's finished. And for Noah, he was faithful to do what God told him to do. Now, I believe that it begins with fellowship with the Lord. That when God closes the door and it's just you, your family, and all these animals, you're in. So you're going to have time together. So it really refers to our time together. So we love snow days. Why do you like snow days? Because you're inside in some ways, inside a whole lot, or you're only outside shoveling snow and playing in it. But your normal routine is stopped and you're shut in and you hang out. And usually for me, it meant mom baking more cookies than usual. and it meant me outside playing. So I have really great memories of being of snow days, because that's the days I knew I didn't go to school as a child growing up. And it's a day that we had fun with our friends. And also we were stuck inside, which means I got a little extra time to watch The Little Rascals, other TV shows that I used to watch as a kid, and stuff like that, and play with my Secret Sam. I was telling somebody about the old toys we used to play with, and someone put an old Secret Sam commercial on, and I was into the James Bond and all the cool devices that you could have. I had the James Bond suitcase, you know, the one that shot bullets out of it, had a knife stuck in the side. I still wish I had some of those toys, because I would have passed them on, you know, and it would have been fun. But let me say that the biggest thing that God does, too, is with what the ark represents, too. Ark represents being saved at the very end of time. That there is going to come a day when the Bible says, Jesus said, the sky is going to be rolled up like a scroll. That means the book's done. That the earth is going to disappear. Heavens, we're going to have a new heavens and the earth. And judgment's going to come, actually, on the earth. And that we're going to be in a very safe place when judgment comes. I think it's important as believers to know that if we've lived a life of obedience to the Lord, God will not allow the floods to get us. We're going to be safe. We are going to be saved at the very end when it really matters. Because there's coming a day when fire will come and judgment will come. And I don't want to be there when it happens. And that's our next door, is the one in Sodom and Gomorrah. So let's go to Genesis 19. Let's go to Genesis 19. And that's another door that God closes. And I think it's at verse 9, yeah. The second door. The second door is the door that no man can open. So the first door is when God shuts a door that only he can shut. The second door is when God shuts a door that nobody can open, like they try. So here is Lot entertaining God himself in angelic form. This is not just a couple low-ranking angels that hang out. This is the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord shows up. God, Jesus, if you will, shows up in his angelic form before he was born. He shows up to rescue Lot because Abraham negotiated his release. Do you realize that Abraham prayed to the Lord and saved his nephew's life because his nephew lived in a city that was going to be destroyed? And Abraham said, how about 30? And the Lord said, I don't know about that. Okay, 30. And then he said, okay, how about 20? And the Lord said, okay, I'll save a city for 20. And then he works them all the way down. He negotiates in prayer and intercedes in prayer all the way down to 10 people. And then God says, okay, enough. I'm selling. Okay, I'm giving up. And so he goes down to the town of Lot. They're out there checking out the place before they destroy it with fire from heaven. And Lot sees him. He sees the angel of the Lord in human form. This is when God shows up as an angel and he looks like a human. And so he invites him to his house and doesn't let him stay. And then the men of Sodom, the entire town comes out. Every one of them, young and old. This is a situation where there was not a single person who was not completely given over to sin, which is totally not like Martinsville. Young and old, everyone without exception was fully given over to sin. They came to the door of Lot's house And they tried to break in the door, and the Lord said no, and struck them with blindness. So they couldn't even find the door. They says they wore themselves out. If you go to the next verse, they wore themselves out. They got tired looking for the door. They couldn't find it anymore. God hid them. Next verse. They wore themselves out groping for the door. Now, one of the Psalms that I really, that the Lord has been pressing on my heart in this day and this hour has been Psalm 91. It was a Psalm of David, and it said that he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. He that dwells or dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow or the shade or the covering of the Almighty. I believe that that is the psalm that we are walking in and living in this hour. For this hour, there is a place that nobody can get in. No disease, no evil. There is a shadow, a secret place that is a 100% secure facility. You can't break into it. No matter what the enemy tries to do, they're not even going to be able to find it. God will strike them with blindness, and they will not even know where the door is to get into your house. Come on. Now that's security, where the enemy is so blinded, he can't get in your house. What's the name of your street? Askin. He'll be asking where it is. Amen. They won't know where his house or your house. They won't know. God has a safe and secure place for you. And I could tell you many testimonies of people that I know that went into very dangerous places and God protected them. Very dangerous places through the years. God watched over them and kept them. And we speak that word over anybody who works in a hospital, obviously, and anybody who works in places that are difficult, that God will protect them and keep them from the invisible demons. By the way, the word for noisome pestilence is translated into the Greek demon. Demons. There is a link in the scripture between disease, invisible germs, and demonic activity. Did you know that? Who would have thought? And that many healings that Jesus did where he cast out a demon, I believe, were when he had to deal with a germ or a virus that was crippling or hurting somebody. He just pulled that demon out of somebody. I know, I feel like I dealt with that virus, and it was a spirit in prayer. When we were up in Pennsylvania praying for the nation, and Marianne was struggling, all of us felt that there was some kind of demonic attack going on against us because of what we were doing. We were fighting in a war in prayer. And there are times when you're fighting in the war and prayer that you have to have a shield of faith. You got to keep your shield up. And it doesn't mean that the enemy won't shoot an arrow at you. You may hear some clings and clangs off the shield of faith, but use it. Use that shield of faith and you will quench all. How many of the fiery darts of the wicked one will be quenched? All of them will be quenched. Amen. So Psalm 91 has been something I have been meditating in a lot. And just I want to make one point about this particular passage without even going there. But God cared so much about Lot that he just didn't rescue Lot. This is very, very important. I want us to exercise faith for our families. He said, is there anyone else here that's related to you and your family, they need to come now. They have to get out of this place. There was a very strong emphasis by the Lord on getting your family out with you. Lot, I'm not just here to save you, buddy. I want your daughters. And the sons, the future sons-in-law, didn't want to go. But that was their choice. But he tried to save them. His daughters got saved. And anyone else they tried to save. So God cares about your family. Now, let's go to Acts chapter 12 now. And we're going to go to the door, the closed door that God knows how to open. Okay, we're going to talk about open doors now. So the first door was the door that God can shut Noah's Ark, right? The second door is that the God shuts that no man can open. And what door was that? Come on. Where was that door? Lot's house in Sodom, right? So the first door is in Noah's Ark. Second door is in Lot's house in Sodom. And this third door is in Jerusalem. And it's the jail, Herod's jail. And Acts chapter 12, verse 1, it says, at that time, Herod the king laid violent hands on some who belonged to the church. And I'm going to look it up in my iPad myself. There we go. He killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also during the days of unleavened bread, which is right after Passover. And when he had seized him, he put him in prison, delivering him over to the four squads of soldiers. Four squads of soldiers. That's a lot. And that means continual 24-hour surveillance or watching. All right. Intending after the Passover to bring him out to the people. So Peter was kept in prison. I love this. Verse 5. Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. We are in a season of earnest prayer. Right now, guys, we are in a season of earnest prayer. We've been in a season of earnest prayer, I believe, particular through the last 2 years or so, and I'll tell you why later on. And during that season of earnest prayer, God laid the foundation for Peter's rescue. Because there was no earnest prayer mentioned about getting James when James was killed. I believe what happened was that was the first apostle to die. And when they killed James, the people of God said, no, we are not going to let this happen without prayer. We're not going to let Herod get away with this. So they began a prayer meeting that started with Peter, and we're going to look at that real quick. Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains. Two soldiers, two chains, two sentries before the door. So they had two soldiers in the prison, two soldiers outside the door, and Peter was asleep. So there was nothing that was set up for an escape, was there? No chance in the natural. So what happens? An angel of the Lord stood next to Peter and light shone in the cell. I could stop and preach right on that. Light came in the darkness. Praise God. God knows how to turn the light on, and he struck Peter on the side and woke him up saying, get up quick, and the chains fell off his hands. Praise God. No keys necessary. Falling right off. And the angel said to him, dress yourself and put on your sandals. And he did so. He just gave a bunch of orders because Peter was still asleep. And he said to him, wrap your cloak around you and follow me. He says, get dressed. Put your cloak on because we're going outside. And he went out and followed him, and he did not know what was being done by the angel was real, but thought that he was seeing a vision. He thought he was seeing a vision. Peter, the apostle Peter, he walked with Jesus. An angel is freeing him, and he thinks he's seeing a vision. He's still half asleep, and an angel's involved. And usually, many times, by the way, guys, you will see angels in your dreams. You'll see them. They'll be there. And they'll be talking to you and working with you. Many times when you see a person or a man or a figure or a woman, that many times is an angel trying to tell you something. So pay attention. Peter did. He thought he was still dreaming or seeing a vision. And they passed the first and second guard. And they came to the iron gate leading into the city. It opened for them of its own accord. Love it. So the chains fell off. The gate opens by itself of its own accord. And they went out and went along one street. And immediately the angel left him. When Peter came to himself, I love that too, he said, "Now I'm sure the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting." So he realized it wasn't a vision until after it happened. Praise God. He goes to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose name was Mark, and where many were gathered together and were praying. So the prayer meeting was going that night. And when he knocked at the door of the gate, a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer. Recognizing Peter's voice, in her joy, she didn't open the gate. So what the angel opened, that the prison gate, Rhoda didn't open the gate. So he had a shut gate at the prayer house, but an open gate at the prison. Shut gate at the prayer meeting, but an open gate at the prison. There is some truth in that, guys, if we take the time, but I'm going to keep moving, okay? Recognizing Peter's voice, they said to her, "You are crazy. You're crazy. You're out of your mind. Why? You're crazy. You saw something. You were imagining. You were hallucinating, Rhoda." And they said, she kept insisting that it was so. I want you to stop for just a second, and I want you to hear me here. Rhoda was operating in faith because in spite of what was told her, she kept insisting, "Yes, I saw Peter." And many times people around you will say, "You're crazy," when you confess the truth of what God is doing. Keep insisting, and I know I'm saying this for somebody, keep insisting, "It is so. I am not crazy. Peter is there. God is doing something." Stop denying it. You know, keep saying, insist it. Go on. And she kept speaking a word of faith, and they kept saying it's his angel. They were in some kind of spiritual place that wasn't a place of faith. No, the angel was already done. This is a shift. It's a shift in the way that we see angels work. And I love this. She kept insisting, and Peter kept knocking. Peter didn't stop knocking on the door. There was a closed door at the prayer meeting. Peter wanted in, and he kept knocking. Maybe because, when is Herod going to figure out I'm not in the jail? I need to get off the street and making a scene. It's Peter! How loud did Rhoda say it? Probably pretty loud. And he's knocking on the gate and they haven't opened to let him in prayer. We need to learn, guys. Let's open the gate when the answer is there. Let's open the gate when the answer is there. It is not just a vision, guys. It is real. Make it real. Come on. And then it's and then finally they open the door and he told them to be quiet. Stop praying. The answer's here. Be quiet. And then he said, tell these things. You get out of the realm of praying and you get into the realm of declaring. And you say, tell people what happened. You don't have to pray about it anymore. Just tell people it happened. Praise God. And of course, Herod couldn't find him because Peter went to another place. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. So God will open a door that man has done everything he can to shut. How many guards were there? Two inside, two outside. Chains on the inside of a prison cell. That's intense. Okay. Praise God. Now, we're going to finish here. Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. God is going to open a door that no man can shut. So he knows how to open a door that man has kept shut. God opens the door. And then, of course, they finally opened the door at the prayer meeting and agreed with God. Then the last door we're going to look at is an open door that nobody can shut, which is, I believe, where we are at now. And I believe that one of these doors can be applying to all of us at any given time. But I believe that we are in a season of an open door. Revelation 3, verse 7, to the angel of the church at Philadelphia. Everybody say, Philadelphia. Philadelphia! This is our season. We are a Philadelphia church, a brotherly love church. The words of the Holy One, the true One, who has the key of David. David's key opens, no one will shut, and shuts, and no one opens. That means when he is the one with the only key. He is the only one holding the key. No one else holds this key. And it's a door that no one else can open, no matter what. You cannot call the locksmith. It won't open. Can't be open. And there's only one key. His name is Jesus. He has the only key for the door. And he said to him, next verse, I know your works. Behold, I have set before you. Now look, the open door, which no one is able to shut. So the keys of David for the Philadelphia church, Jesus wanted them to know there is an open door, and that open door will always be open for you. So I want you to turn to your neighbor. And I want you to confess, God has an open door for you that nobody is going to shut. Come on. God has an open door for you that nobody, God has opened the door for you that nobody is going to shut. No circumstance, no situation. The devil can't shut it. No demon in hell can shut it. No sickness or disease can shut it. No evil person can shut it. Whether it's a government official or just a nasty person that you walk into down the street, God has an open door for you that nobody's going to shut. Now, I'm going to give you a testimony right now. I'm going to give you some testimony. So I want you all to listen to me. Just you can put your notes down if you want to. But on January 20th, 2018, January 20th, 2018, Marianne and I, or I think it was me and Danny, actually. Well, I don't know where he is now. But Danny and I went to Big House Church. There he is. Big House Church in Norfolk, Virginia, Virginia Beach. And we went over there to visit Adam Cates and Jerry Cates. Adam's the pastor. Jerry's his dad. Jerry's a prophet. And we got to be friends with Jerry Cates. And I wanted Danny to go over there. So we go there. We're sitting in Jerry's kitchen. And how many know that's one of the best places to hear from God? Come on, say amen to that. The kitchen. Yep. And we're sharing and sitting in that kitchen, a big house church. You guys have been to Big House, right? So you guys need to go. Okay. If you haven't been to Big House Church is a bigger house, but just a lot like this church, just bigger. Okay. And it's close to the beach. Amen. Okay. Now, so we're there and the Lord puts on, I think it's Jerry's heart, but God spoke and said this, you guys are an Isaiah 22:22 church. The key of David is yours. You sit on the intersection of 220, 22 with a zero. And I'd gotten the word way back in 2004, Anthony Del Grosso, when he was here, he said, God has given you 220 all the way. See, Jerry didn't know this. All the way from the bottom of 220 all the way to the top of 220. That's your trail, the Seneca Trail, David. The U.S. Highway was built on the old Indian trails that came down from upstate New York all the way down south. And the Seneca Indians came down here. This was their trail, 220, otherwise known as the Old Wagon Road. And we are on the southern branch, the Carolina branch of the Old Wagon Road. And you can find the Old Wagon Road out there in Horse Pasture, still called by its old name. Okay? The Moravians went right by here to start Salem, right by our church. Okay? So it's a historic trail. And Jerry picked up on that and he said, we're on the end of 58 and you guys are at the intersection of 58 and 220. He said, Isaiah 22:22 is your scripture for your church, the key of David. And hasn't the key of David been at this church? God has given us open doors and favor. And the key, and wasn't David the sweet psalmist of Israel? Sweet psalmist. Look at all the psalmists here. Singers, the musicians, the writers. So what has God done? He's placed here. This is in January 20th of 2018. And then the Lord spoke to me that God was going to do a work of reconstruction, that the enemy was trying to deconstruct the Christian heritage of the United States, and that God was going to put it back together. Reconstruction. And he gave me the word that was used at the end of the Civil War. January 20th of 2018. It's important to hear this because this happened. Now, you got to get this. This is amazing. A month later, we went back. Marianne and I went back to a worship conference, or we went back to Big House Church. And it was we went on the weekend of the 20th of February. So it was 2/20/2018. And while we were there, on our way back, Billy Graham died on the 21st. So 2/22 is the day that after Billy Graham dies. So something, okay. 2/22 was also the day that the president moved the United States Embassy and opened it up in Jerusalem. Never has this country ever put our embassy in the capital or recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. It happened on 2/22 in 2018. So we get this while we're driving back on 2/22. Then she said, then Justin Allen, a prophet from Global, I don't know if you ever ran into Justin at one of the conferences, but he was a prophetic guy that gave us a word. He was the only prophet at Global, at another conference we went to, that gave us a specific word about our region in Pennsylvania County and Henry County and said, revival's coming and you're going to be a part of it. He sends out an email about the significance of 2/22, and I could go through a lot of that, but I'll just give you a few things. On creation, in the 6 days God created heaven and the earth, guess how many things he created? 22. Count them. That's pretty interesting. How many Old Testament books? 22. Generations from Adam to Jacob. 22. How many times is light used in the Old Testament scripture, the word light? 12 times 22. How many times is light used in the Gospel of John? 22 times. So Justin puts this out on 2/22/2018. So I'm going, that's pretty cool. God's trying to get our attention. This is 2018. So Tracy says to me, by the way, God spoke to Dutch Sheets and said, in the beginning of the year, he said, change your schedule, go to 22 cities and finish the last meeting on 2/22 in Washington, D.C. I said, that's interesting. So I went to Dutch Sheets' website, looked at what he was doing on 2/22, listened to it. And God spoke to him that the worldwide prayer movement was going to be relaunched on 2/22. That's why they were going to do that. Okay? Which I thought, okay, the last time that we connected with Dutch Sheets was in the prayer movement. We taught Dutch Sheets' book on intercession. This goes back many years. And then Clay Nash, one of his prophets, whatever, has a dream about a ship. This is in 2018. He has a ship with 5 sails, and at the bottom of the ship is the year 2020. So, I'm saying all this to say this. God started doing something in 2018, getting us ready for 2020. I never thought that I would have been as involved in prayer like I have, like we have, this year. And I believe it's for the life of this nation. God set it in motion in 2018 on 2/22 for a reason. Because, and I didn't see this dream until the other day. God, I don't even know Dutch Sheets even realizes that one of his guys dreamed what he would be doing now in 2020, going all over the country and praying for the nation. And so when Dutch Sheets was going to go to Countersport, which is the church that we've known for years, those are the guys that started Blue Ridge School of the Prophets. Joe Crandall and David Miner started the Blue Ridge School up there. So, we knew David Miner, for years, ever since I was a brand new Christian. So why did we go to that church? Because Dutch Sheets was there, because God led us to go there through a series of supernatural events. I don't really understand this, guys. I wish I knew it all, really. But he was telling us back then what we're going through right now. And we better get it. And if there isn't anything we need to do more than anything right now, is we need to pray. And we need to confess this open door. This open door. This open door. I have given you the keys of David, and I have given you an open door. I believe the open door that no man can shut is the door to heaven. Because right afterwards, John sees an open door, and he says, come on up, buddy. I want to show you some stuff. Where there is a connection between heaven and earth before you die. I'll be very blunt. This open door is an open door of heavenly connection. I don't know how else to explain it. Through prayer, visions, angelic presence, whatever you want to say. Before you go, finally. So we left the next day, right? We're visiting Ken Gary. Sylvia Evans was going to be doing a conference here. I don't know if you remember this. She couldn't do the conference because her spiritual mom passed away, was very sick, and she wanted to be with her. So she canceled our conference. And then one of my friends says, oh, by the way, I've got free accommodations in Orlando, Florida. Would you like to go with me to a conference with Global in Orlando for free? I'm like, do I need to pray about this? So Sylvia goes, we didn't know that. God shut that door to the conference and then opened the door to Orlando, Florida. God knows how to shut doors, and he knows how to open doors. So we went down there, Orlando, Florida, at Mark Sharona's church. And that's where we went. At a conference we never planned to go to, never dreamed to go to, God had us go there. I'm saying this because I believe the Lord wants you to understand and to believe God for the unexpected open doors, and that he wants us to pray for this nation. This time of prayer in 2020 and going into 2021, I believe, is very, very important. Very important. I'm going to give you two more quick things. In Revelation 2:22, Jezebel was judged. And her judgment was sickness. And I have to say that wherever Jezebel goes and people follow Jezebel, sickness will follow. And I believe when you see something on that large of a scale come over a nation, that ain't God, guys. That's the Jezebel trying to hurt this country, trying to hurt us. And there are people, too many people in this country that are being hospitable to the Jezebel spirit. It's got to stop. It's got to stop. We have to kick that thing out. And people have to, we have to convince people and talk to people and say, look, we can't follow that thing. We can't. Do you know what one of her things was? The two characteristics of the Jezebel spirit was sexual immorality. That means sex outside of marriage, guys. Right? It's very simple. And the second thing is idolatry. And what it meant was, it doesn't matter what you believe, you're okay. Doesn't matter if it's Jesus, Hare Krishna. Well, you don't do Hare Krishna anymore. But Yoda or whatever, not Yogi. Yogi, Yoda, Bubba. Whatever the names are, Buddha, I'm not trying to be disrespectful. You hear what I'm saying? I'm not trying to be that way. But we have this, it's a Jezebel spirit that says, just off, as long as you're sincere, that's okay. It's wrong. It will bring, put people in the sick bed. And it'll destroy people. So like God has something powerful these next 10 years, this next decade we're coming into. I wanted to share some of these prophetic things because nobody can make this happen like this. I can't tell. I could not have dreamed how things would have happened. Tracy. And then the last but not least, Revelation 22:2. It says that, so I want you to hear the 22s. This is my 22 caliber message. But you got to be accurate with the 22 or it's no good. Okay? But Revelation 22 says there's a river that flows through Jerusalem. And it says it's lined with fruit trees and that the fruit is one variety of fruit every month. I love that. It means like oranges one month, pears the next month, apples the next month. It's like, well, strawberries are, I guess it's a plant, but I'm thinking, I don't know, maybe strawberries. But anyway, But here's what I want to focus on. It says that the leaves of the tree of life are for the healing of the nations. Now, I don't know if you take the leaves and you put them and make tea out of them and drink it. That's okay. I'll take the leaves that way. Or if you take the leaves and you rub it on your body like aloe, but it heals. I believe there's going to be healing from the tree of the fruit varieties in this place and in other places. People are going to get healed of that Jezebel judgment. People are going to get healed. I think we've seen a tremendous healing. It took over 4 years. 4 years to heal that. It's tough. But I believe there's more. There's more. We have to believe God. There's more, and we have to pray for this nation. So, the only thing I want to say, and I've definitely taken my time, but I wanted to share this testimony, this part. That's the one I wanted to give my most time to, because I don't think I've ever sat in one meeting and just unloaded all of these prophetic things that took place. It's just like, wow. Wow. But in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door." Look how many doors there are, right? "I stand at the door and knock." Now, in that situation, you have to open the door. Jesus will only knock. But he'll knock. So the question is, we got to hear the knock. And then once we hear the knock, we have to open the door. Open the door. Please open the door. Jesus is knocking. Please open the door to Jesus. Open the door. There's something about him that you will not get any other way. Open the door. Just like with Peter. Let Peter in. Your prayer's been answered. Let him in. Let the answer come in to the prayer meeting. Right? Open the door and let me in. Jesus is knocking. So we pray today. Today we pray, the 27th of December, 2020. We pray the last Sunday of 2020, the year of vision. Oh, we're seeing things now that we didn't see before. Oh, boy. But we pray that we would open the door when you're knocking. We open the door, Lord. We want that fellowship. That's the only thing. It's us and Jesus. It says we'll have a meal together. And we'll be with Jesus, and Jesus will be with us. I like that. And Lord, we say, let the tree of life prosper and flourish in this location. Let there be fruit year-round, different kinds of fruit. And Lord, we're praying for an outbreak of healing, because there are many that have been afflicted by the Jezebel spirit because of Jezebel. They need to be healed. They need to be gotten off their sick bed. There are those that are afflicted, and there are those that are hurt. There are those that are hurting, even if it wasn't because of their association with Jezebel. There are people that are hurting. Lord, we pray for healing, greater healing in 2021 than in 2020. Greater healing. And Lord, we pray for our nation. We thank you, Lord, that you spoke to Dutch. We thank you, Lord, that you spoke to Chuck Pierce and Cindy Jacobs about it. We thank you that you spoke to us about it. We didn't know you spoke to Dutch, and Dutch didn't know you spoke to us. That's not important. It all matters that you spoke. You said it. You spoke to Tracy Gray. You spoke to the guy down there in Charlotte, TV guy. Spoke to him. Spoke to so many of us back in 2018 about the importance of Isaiah 22:22. And we say, Lord, let the key of David prosper in our hands. And let the open door just continually bring the blessing of the Lord to this nation. This nation needs the open door of David. It needs it. Lord, we need your grace and your power released in this nation upon the president, upon the winner of the election. Lord, Lord, that this election would be straightened out so that it would actually be clear. And that anything that is hidden would be exposed. And Father, anything that is not right would be made right. And Father God, we say, Lord, let this nation move forward in righteousness, in life. Lord, not death, not the culture of Jezebel, but the culture of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we pray that you would replace the wisdom of the world with the wisdom from the Lord. Father, we pray that our leaders would humble themselves. The most important part of 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, you got to do this before you pray, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Lord, we confess there is no one good but God. None of us. Jesus, why are you calling me good? There's no one good but God. So, Lord, we say that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All. But all who believe on the name of the Lord shall be delivered and saved. So, Lord, we need your righteousness. We need your holiness. And we need your answers to prayer. Send your angels as never before to open prison doors. Send your angels as never before to blind the sodomite mob. Blind them. Lord, shut your people in the place of safety until the storm is past. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you, Lord, for the power of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.